That's good, ain't it? That's good. I'll tell you, I'm glad the Lord has touched him. Amen. It's good to hear him testifying to that and being thankful for what God has done in his life. I'll tell you what, sometimes God has to take us down into the jaws of death and the valley of despair before he can ever squeeze our heart in the right manner to get us get out of that heart what pleases and glorifies him. And is there anybody else got any announcements to make this morning? Anything you need to announce to the church ought to know this morning. Anybody, anywhere. I heard there was a big announcement on the making, but I hadn't got any real news of it yet. Secondhand. Now, I don't like gossip, so I won't say a thing, all right? Secondhand stuff we don't need to pass on. If anybody wants to make any kind of announcement or anything this morning, all right, I'll give you an opportunity. Can't say I didn't give you a chance. Amen. Now, if I busted up here this morning, well, you'll just have to suffer the consequences, huh? Huh? All right. Song of Solomon this morning, please, and chapter number 2. Song of Solomon and chapter number 2. I hope the Lord will put together my thoughts this morning and help me preach the Word of God. I feel kind of like Brother Brown did on the one message he was preaching on that crown of thorns, and mentioned how he needed God's help to put his train of thought together. And I need that this morning. I definitely do. And so you pray that God will help us. When you find Song of Solomon, chapter 2, let's stand together and we'll read the first 3 verses. God's enabled us to preach through the entire first chapter. And I trust that we're preserving these tapes and keeping them in a safe place under lock and key for further use, all right? And then we've started now in chapter number 2. I want to read the first 3 verses this morning. Where the Lord said, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Now may the Lord add the His blessing to the reading of the Word of God this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for this hour that You've brought us to. And I confess my inability this morning to adequately describe the glories of the cross and, Lord, to vividly picture the bleeding Son of God as He gave His life there that sinners might be rescued from their own sin and someday stand perfect, harmless, and blameless in the presence of God. Thank You for the cleansing power of Your blood and, Lord, for the cleansing power of Your Word. Now, I'd pray that You'd help us this morning here, save old sinners by the good grace of God and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in our midst. And, Lord, I need Your help. I need Your power and Your liberty, Your unction to say everything this morning that ought to be said, and help me to say it with grace and glory. And I'll thank You and praise You for what You do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. As our text verse this morning, I want to call our attention to verse number 3. Where the bride is here speaking, and she says, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. And if God would help me for a little while this morning, and He'll have to, I want to try to preach on the glorious apple tree. On that glorious apple tree. And He is the altogether lovely one. And His lovely bride, the church of the firstborn, the redeemed of the Lord during this grace dispensation acknowledges Him as the apple tree among the trees of the wood. He's not just another ordinary tree. He is an apple tree among the trees of the wood. He's not just a Son of God, but is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. And I want to try to preach on that thought this morning and present Him as the glorious apple tree. Now, Christ, in the previous verse, that is in verse number 2, has commended the church. He has declared her to be preferable above all others. She is loved by Him, and she is set under the shield of His protection as a delicate lily among the thorns. Now, I'm thankful this morning, church, that we are protected by the hand of God as a lily is protected among the thorns. That little lily is quite delicate, and the thorns would protrude it and penetrate the delicacy of the petals of the little lily. But I'm glad that the Lord has protected us there as the lily amongst the thorns and set us under the shield of God's protection. Thank God that we are overshadowed by His power. We are preserved in Christ and called. We are underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. I'm glad this morning that I have the protecting power of God, and the thorns of the curse, nor the power of Satan, nor the sin of society can draw any closer to you and I that have been saved than that which the Lord permits. Oh, He did drop the shield, the hedge, for a short while around His servant Job, that he might be tested and tried. But all during the testing and the trying, Job's soul was still under the protecting power of God. You know, there's times that the Lord will allow the devil to have his way in our flesh, my friend, but the soul of man is sealed under the day of redemption by the seed of God that remaineth in us. And I'm glad this morning that we cannot sin because His seed remains in us and prevents that inner man that has been saved by the grace of God from falling into sin. Oh yes, we are protected, my friend, although we're among the thorns. Now here in verse number 3, that little bride, and may I say here that that little bride is a type of you and I today. Friend, what she is stating in verse number 3 should be the heart feeling of every born-again child of God that is living today. The Lord has gloriously, through His providence and through His preservation of the Scriptures and His inspiration by the Holy Ghost, has allowed the Spirit of God to pin down the words of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the bride, and she begins to commend Him. Amen. She begins to commend Him as being He that is the apple tree among the trees of the wood. Hey, and that ought to be our heart feeling today, to recognize our Lord not as just another being, but as the glorious, darling Son of God, surrounded by all the majestic glory of heaven, and as Isaiah said, seated on a throne, while the seraphims around Him cry, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And I tell you, Brother Doug couldn't have said anything any better in the Sunday school hour than talking about Mary and Martha and their service unto the Lord. For the remainder of the verse says, "I sat down under His shadow with great delight, and His taste was sweet to my mouth." Amen to God. That ought to be our heart feeling today. We ought to desire to sit down under His shadow that we may delight ourselves in the fragrance from the apples and from the taste that they provide. Oh, hallelujah to God. There is nothing like, my friend, taking time out of our day to sit down under the shadow of the apple tree and to delight ourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that ought to be, my friend, my desire and your desire is to delight ourselves in the Lord. I'm going to tell you why. He will not withhold any good thing from those that delight themselves in Him. Thanks be unto our God. He's now noticed now that He is not an apple tree in bud. He's not just in bud. And neither is He an apple tree in bloom. Oh, they're wonderful. They have a delightful fragrance. And there's nothing so beautiful as an apple tree in the spring with its pink and white blossoms that come out on it. And there's nothing so fragrant as the odor that flows from those blossoms. But I want to say to you, my friend, that our Lord is never in blossom and bloom. He is a fruit-bearing tree that bears His fruit throughout the year. No sinner will ever make his way to the apple tree, my friend, and find it barren or in bloom or blossom. He'll always find it hanging loaded with the spiritual graces of God that He may sit down under its shadow and delight Himself in the taste thereof. I'm glad, thank God, that I've always found my Lord able to satisfy my soul anytime I sit down under the shadow of that glorious apple tree. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to notice something now. This tree typifies our Lord Jesus. And please notice now, He is not in a garden, and neither is He in a vineyard. But He's in the woods. He's in the wild. He is not owned by any, but He stands available to all. Hallelujah to God. Somebody said, "Preacher, who can delight himself in the apple tree? Can the rich? Yea, and much more than the rich. Can the poor? Yea, and much more than the poor. Can the black? Yea, and the white also. For let whosoever will come and sit down under the shadow of the shade of the apple tree and delight yourself in the fruit thereof." I tell you, I'm glad that the apple tree is in the wild, in the woods, my friend, that whosoever will that passes by may delight himself in the taste and the flavor of that apple tree. And I'm glad that He didn't come for any little elite group. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And John said in the book of the Revelation, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come, and let whosoever will come and drink of the water of the fountain of life freely." I'm glad He stands as an apple tree in the wilderness of this world, and He has saving grace under Him, my friend, for any sinner that will make his way and sit down under the shadow and delight himself in the taste of the fruit. Amen to God. Amen. Any weary traveler. Oh, are you weary today and heavy laden? Is the load that you carry more than you can bear? Is your heart heavy with sin and your life burdened with folly? Then I want to suggest to you to make yourself to the apple tree and sit down and find rest under its shadow. For the Bible said, "Come unto me all, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Oh, yes, my friend, the weary traveler
He that carries a heavy load is more likely than any to find himself sitting under the shade of the apple tree. That man that is labored in the sun and in the heat and has avoided the coolness of the day will more than likely find himself seated under the shade of the apple tree. For that shade is sought, my friend, only by those that have experienced the scorching heat of the sun. I want to say to you on the authority of the Word of God, if the scorching divine justice of God is a bearing down on your soul today, you can come to the apple tree and find a shelter under the shade and delight yourself in the fruit thereof. Amen. And amen. I see five things about that apple tree that I'll try to call to our attention this morning. And by the help of God, I hope He'll let me preach in such a way that it'll create an appetite in your heart to get to Christ and to sit at His feet and to learn His Word. Amen. And let His love flow into your life. For I'm satisfied that the sin of the age is the grievous evil of God's people neglecting their privilege and opportunity to sit down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and sit under the shade of the apple tree and delight themselves in the taste of the fruit of God's glorious apple tree. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I see, first of all, I see this apple tree. The apple tree is it leads sinners to repentance. Somebody said, "Preacher, how in heaven's name?" I'm just going to have to talk to you. That's about all the liberty I got, but I'm going to do it anyhow. I see the apple tree as He leads sinners to repentance. Somebody said, "Preacher, how does it do that?" By the fragrance of the fruit. Oh, how fragrant is the smell of apples. And I don't know about any of you city slickers, but I'm a country boy at heart. Amen. And I tell you, can out in the wild, in the woods, a lone little apple tree standing out in the middle of the woods seems to send forth a fragrance that's far sweeter than any of those trees that are tame and are cultivated inside the orchards and in the gardens and in the vineyards. And this apple tree, our Lord Jesus, as He stands out in the wild, by the fragrance of His fruit, my friend, He is able to lead sinners to repentance. Somebody said, "What is that fragrance?" It is the goodness of God. Oh, I'm telling you that God has been better to humanity than humanity deserves. You know what Brother Paul said in Romans 2:4? He said, "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and the forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" I'm glad, thank God, that our Lord's goodness, my friend, is what leads sinners to repentance. And the apple tree in the wild sends off a fragrance, my friend. It's the fragrance of Christ, the altogether lovely one, the darling Son of God, the first and the last, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He that lived a sinless life, an immaculate life upon this earth, and humbled Himself on the cross and became obedient unto death. Even, my friend, the death of the cross sends out a fragrance that is bound to draw sinners, my friend, and lead them to a place of repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus, that they might be saved by the grace of God. Oh, yes, sir. That apple tree standing in the wild, that little bride likened Him to that apple tree. And she could not refrain herself from sitting down under its shadow as its lovely fragrance drew her from somewhere out yonder in the wood. I'm sure that she followed the scent, that she wondered where it would ultimately lead her. Isn't that the way it was in your life? When God first began to deal in your life as a sinner, you didn't really know what was going on, but you could smell a spiritual fragrance that you had never inhaled into your nostrils before, and the goodness of God just continued to send out that fragrance, that wonderful smell of apple blossoms, until finally it led you to that apple tree. I could liken it, and I will in a minute, to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, upon which the Prince of Glory laid down His life. I'm here to tell you, friend, there's a fragrance that comes out from the old rugged cross that's got a power about it to lead sinners to repentance. Amen to God. Now somebody said, "Preacher, what is that good fragrance?" Well, I'm going to tell you, sometimes smells deceive themselves. They really do. I want to say that one of the fragrances is the convicting fragrance of the Spirit of God. Now I'm going to tell you something, neighbor. The hand of God in conviction upon a sinner is sometimes, it's not a very pleasant thing. But I tell you, in the mind of God, it is a sweet fragrance. It is an odor of a sweet smell. And as a sinner, you may not recognize it. You may not recognize it, first of all, as being the sweet fragrance of the apple tree. But I'm going to tell you once, my friend, it leads you to the place where you can sit out under the shade and find protection from the sun. You will realize just how fragrant and sweet the convicting power of the Holy Ghost is in a person's life. Now, I'm going to tell you why folks know nothing about the apple tree today and its convicting power. They know nothing about the work of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, friend, our society and our generation, they are dumbfounded about the work of the Holy Ghost in this world today. Some folks got an idea all the Holy Ghost does is speak in tongues or cause somebody to be healed. But I'm telling you, my friend, that the work of the Holy Ghost is to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment which is to come. That's right. The Bible says in the book of John 16:8, "And when He is come," referring to the Comforter, "He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment." And everybody look right up here at me. I'm going to ask you something. How does the Holy Ghost reprove of sin? Hey, don't turn your head now. How does the Holy Ghost reprove of sin? He cannot reprove your sin until He first reveals your sin. Amen. That's what our Lord's talking about. The Spirit of God's job is to reveal the sin of sinners. And neighbor, that's talking about more than unbelief. "For I would have never known the sin except the Word of God said that adultery is wrong. And I would have never come to believe that had not the Holy Ghost of God revealed sin in my own life. I'd have never fled to the apple tree to find shelter under its shade had not the Holy Ghost of God uncovered and revealed my sin and showed me that I was a sinner on my way to hell. But thanks be unto God, there was a refuge from hell and from a lake of fire and from the guilt and penalty and condemnation of sin. There was an apple tree in the wild that God had planted there, my friend, and there's shade to be found, and His taste is delightful to the souls of men." Bless His wonderful name. That convicting power of the Holy Ghost of God. And I'm going to tell you something. When He reveals your sin, it's more than just the sin of unbelief. I'm going to tell you something, friend. I believe that Jesus was virgin born in a manger, died on the cross, and rose from the grave when I was a little bitty boy in school, in Sunday school. But buddy, there come a day in my life when that Holy Ghost had to roll back, my friend, the spiritual blindness of my heart and mind and allow me to look at myself as I really was. Black, scorched by the sun, ungodly, unholy, unthankful, without God in this world. Oh, but it reminded me that though I stood afar off, yet I've been made nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad that an old leper that stands afar off can yet be drawn by the fragrance of the Holy Ghost and brought nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus and granted repentance unto faith that he may spend an eternity in the presence of God. Oh, yeah. I'm going to say that fragrance of conviction is not always a pleasant thing. For we don't really like to look at ourselves like the Bible, like the Bible teaches us we are. That's why I know man didn't write that book. If man had written that book, he'd have told everybody in the world how good he was. But God wrote it and told us how bad that we are. Somebody said, oh, but preacher, I don't want to be bad. Oh, I do. I do. I'm glad I'm a sinner. I'm glad that I was vile. I'm glad that I was a sinner. Oh, yes, because Jesus didn't come into the world to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners He come to call the vile, the unlovely, the unholy, the ungodly. He come to call the thief, the adulterer, amen, the fornicator, the drunkard. God come to call sinners to repentance. Oh, bless His wonderful name. You don't have to be good to qualify to go to heaven, friend. You've got to be bad. God come to save bad people. You think that little old harlot, you think that little harlot in John 4 was a good girl? She got caught right in the bed with a man. Jesus said, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. Huh? What about that Samaritan woman at the well? Done had five or six husbands. God said, go and sin no more. Hey, look here. You know what? You know why she done that? Because the Holy Ghost convicted that little woman and revealed to her just what she was. For she went running into town and said, come and see a man that told me all things ever that I did. I'm going to tell you, friend, it'll be a glorious day when the Holy Ghost of God reveals to your life just how hell-bound and hellish and sinful you are that you might get saved by the good grace of God. Bless His name. See that little old woman at the well. Said, come out here and see a man that told me all things ever I did. Said, that man knows all about my life. He knows I had five or six men. I'm shacking up now. He knows how sinful I am. But you know what? She said, he gave me a drink. Praise God, while I was out there, I don't understand it. But said, I went to draw water out of Jacob's well. And said, I got my bucket down a whole lot deeper. Praise God, what Jacob did get her down. And I got so excited and stirred up about it that I left my water pot to come back and tell somebody else about it. I'm going to tell you what we need today is to get so excited about the drink that we've had that we'll forget our own water pot and go tell somebody else about the living water that's come into the world to give sinners a good drink of Holy Ghost heartfelt, heaven-bound salvation. I said, why do you act like you do? I'm heaven bound with the hammer down. And I would to God it'd get so loose that I could act plumb like a novice. Run my head through a wall. Carry on. Somebody said, I don't like you, buddy, I do. I'm going to tell you something else. When He has come, that fragrance, that apple tree is sending out in the convicting power of the Spirit of God, leading sinners to repentance. My friend, He not only reveals sin, but when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness. Son, I'm sick and tired of this crowd talking about how they're saved by the grace of God, and righteousness has never been. Oh, we can say they've been reproved of it, but let's get down to where the rubber meets the road. It cannot be reproved until it's revealed. Now, I'm here to tell you something, friend. The Holy Ghost will reveal what is right and what is wrong. Don't tell me this crowd that can run naked all over the country, live in bars, amen to God, visit the honky-tonks and one thing and another, that they've ever been saved by the good grace of God. They don't know a thing about real righteousness. Oh, no, I'm telling you, for the gospel, Paul said in Romans 1:16, which is the power of God unto salvation, it not only reveals the wrath of God, but it reveals the righteousness of God as well. I'm going to tell you something. According to Romans 10, those Jews went about to establish their own righteousness and had never submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Now, I'm going to tell you, a sinner, my friend, will never enjoy the shade of the old apple tree till they submit themselves to the righteousness of God. And no sinner will ever go to heaven until they're made the righteousness of God. That's what salvation is all about. God imputed His wrath. Said imputing. Somebody said, what's that big word? What does that mean? He just simply said, Jerome, you're righteous.
Amen.
Somebody said, I know Jerry. He's made a lot of mistakes. Then shake your fist in the hand in the face of God, neighbor. Because God has imputed it. God said it. Final. What God says He means. That's imputed righteousness. That's justification. God says you're justified and you are justified. Amen. Oh, sinners, yes. A sentence to hell, yes. But I'm glad, thanks be unto God, that the great advocate, our Lord Jesus, my friend, amen to God, pardoned my sin and set me free. Righteousness. He'll reveal judgment. He'll reveal the judgment. Now, I'm going to tell you the first judgment He'll reveal is Christ being judged for your sin, neighbor, on the cross. He was made to be sin for you. Whatever sin is what He became. No matter how vile, ugly, ungodly, dark sin is, Jesus became that. Huh? For whoremongers. For adulterers. For thieves. Huh? Right on down the line. Amen. God, Jesus, was made to be sin. God judged Him. And I get into that minute. He was judged on the cross. He experienced your wrath. He experienced, my friend, your judgment. He suffered your hell. He suffered your hell. I want to say it again. He suffered your hell for you. Instead of coming to church and wanting to sit under the shade of that apple tree and delight ourselves in it, amen, and enjoy the taste of the fruit, we come to church and sit with our head down between our legs, bless God, like we've been sucking on an Allen bag all week, and we don't give a flip about God. And I'm going to tell you the reason for most Baptists don't care about God. They're more concerned about their paycheck this week and what, amen to God, and that's right, and what they can gain in the world rather than being concerned about God. God, help us. Huh? Under the shade of the old apple tree, where Jesus, my Lord, pardoned me, revealed His great love that He had bestowed, flooded my soul with the joy bells of heaven. Amen. Showed me that I had a canopy above my head that divine justice could not penetrate. Amen. Let me know that I've been set free. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, and I don't want to leave it shade. There's a whole lot of trees in the wood, but give me the old apple tree. Somebody said, preacher, apple trees ain't very big. You ain't never seen this apple tree. Amen. It ain't one of them dwarf pears. I'll assure you of that, buddy. It's a big apple tree. Amen to God. And look here. The apples don't fall. The apples don't. Oh, somebody said, preacher, surely the apples fall. No, because there's no corruption in Him. The apples do not rot and they do not fall. But I'm going to tell you what you can do. Your delight, amen to God, in your fire of the divine grace. You know something? I'm getting ahead of myself. But every time the word apple is mentioned in the Bible, it carries with it a good connotation of delight. He's the apple of my eye. The apple means the pupil. That's all God sees. When He sees you and I, the apple of His eye, He just looks at us through the pupil. He's got peripheral vision. And we ought to have peripheral vision. You don't know what that means. That means you can't look nowhere. Is that right? You can't look nowhere but straight ahead. Can't see to your side. Or you can see straight ahead. It'd be a God-blessed day when the church came down with peripheral vision and set their affection on Christ. Amen! And looked unto Him who is the author and the finisher of our faith. I've got to hurry. I've got to hurry. I want to say number two. Number two, the Lord leads men to repentance, not only by the conviction of the Spirit, but of the calling fragrance of the gospel. I'm telling you, my friend, there is nothing any more fragrant than the Holy Ghost call that the gospel of our Lord Jesus sends out. Huh? For He says in 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 14, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." Somebody said, "See, preacher, right there, God told them He chose them. He chose them, but look how He chose them. Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." Oh yes, my friend. And there you see the work of God, the sovereignty of God, and the responsibility of man. It is God's sovereign will to sanctify men by the Holy Ghost. But friend, you've got a responsibility about you to believe the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Amen. And then notice what else He says in the next verse. "Whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Oh my, the fragrance of the cross. At the cross, where I first saw the light, the burden of my soul was rolled away. Somebody said, "Preacher, how can there be a fragrant odor from the cross?" For it was on the cross that became the odor of death. Yes, but I want to remind you that out of death sprang life. My friend, there is no life without death first. "Except a grain of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. No sinner will ever be saved until he does." That's right, you've got to die to self, die to sin, die to the world, or you'll never be saved by the grace of God. See Him there, yonder, look. Look at Mount Zion. His head pierced with a crown of thorns. Blood oozing from the wounds in His head. His face, yet for some reason that man can't explain, is not resembling the pain and the agony. But His face has an expression of joy and delight. For it was for the joy that was set before Him that He endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of God. Although His body is beaten beyond recognition, there seems to be a smile upon His face. Blood oozing down out of His back and down His loins and His calf and dripping into the grass. And it seems that the grass lifts its little self up toward the sky to the birds flying overhead and cries, "It is finished." And the birds soar up toward the clouds and cry, "It is finished." And the clouds ascend up to the third heaven where God is and cries, "It is finished." And the Son of God on the cross, as He died between heaven and hell, bowed His head and cried, "It is finished. It is finished." What a fragrance from the cross. I want to say there's a fragrance from the grave. I said the grave. That is the gospel, you know. Huh? How can there be a fragrance from the grave, the cave, the place of death? Lazarus had been there 4 days and stinketh. But my Lord is not one of the trees among the woods. He's the apple tree. In Him, His body, His flesh, saw no corruption. Thanks be unto God. What a fragrance comes out of the grave. On that third morning when Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, and the other women appeared with the alloy and to anoint His body for burying. What a fragrance came out of that grave when they looked inside and saw one sitting on the inside as white and glistening as the noonday sun. And those fragrant words and those blessed words that uttered from the cave, "He is not here. He is risen." I want to thank God today that He's not there. Glory to God. He's risen. He's not on the cross like the Catholics say. He has risen. And He's not in the grave like the agnostics say. He has risen. For the Son of God is not dead, but He's alive. He told His disciples, "Go ahead and stick your fist in my side. Go on. You think I'm a spirit? Go on, Thomas. You doubting, Thomas? Go on. Put your finger in the print of the nail and thrust your fist into my side and see if I'm a spirit. Buddy, I'm alive." Amen. And John testified that he saw Him. "He that was a dead and is alive forevermore." Amen. "Got the keys of hell and death on his girdle." What a fragrance flows from the gospel. Amen to God, leading sinners to repentance. Son, if I was a lost sinner under the sound of my voice this morning, here by the radio or over the internet, I do believe, my friend, that I'd examine my own heart and open up my spiritual nostrils and inhale and smell the fragrance that flows from the cross. Make your way to the grave. Stick your head in. Draw a deep breath. Smell the scent of apple blossom from the grave. He is not there. He has risen. I got to hurry. I won't say His coming again. The cross, the cave, and the coming again sends out such a fragrance. Oh, what a smell. I'm going to tell you what somebody said. "Are you waiting for the sound?" Yeah, but I'm going to tell you what. Whoop! I smelled Him a long time before I heard the sound. Huh? That is right. What a fragrance. Hallelujah to God. That apple tree leads sinners to repentance. Hallelujah to God. I see that in it. I've got to hurry. That apple tree reconciles sinners to God by becoming our intercessor. Now, don't anybody leave me. Let me finish this message to you, please. The Bible said there that He's an apple tree among the trees of the wood. So is my beloved among the sons. And she said, "I sat down under His shadow." If I understand that correctly, if there's a shadow, there must be something between the Son and you to make that pattern. Somebody turn that furnace off back there. My God, it must be 500 degrees up here. I don't know what it is out there, but it's hot enough up here. I thought there for a minute I'd done died and went to hell and missed a boat, son. It's hot up here. Hey, God. Huh? That apple tree reconciles sinners to God by becoming our intercessor. She sat down under its shadow. If we sat, listen now, if we sat under a tree in its shadow, it is because the tree receives the heat and we escape it. Ain't that right? If it's hot in the summer, we sit under a tree and the tree absorbs the heat and we escape it. Somebody said, "What are you saying, preacher?" I'm saying, my friend, that in His own self bear our sins in His own body. Where, Brother Hall? I'm glad you asked. On the tree! Hallelujah to God! Now I'm here to tell you, the shade of the old apple tree absorbed the scorching sun of the justice of God, and you and I went free. Aren't you glad today that He stands between a sinner and Almighty God, becoming our advocate, if you please, our interposer, our intercessor, our substitute, and the Lord has absorbed all of your wrath that was deserved and never sinned. Now I'm going to tell you, the Holy Ghost part to see to it that you understand that you're a sinner and deserving of hell. And it's also His work to reveal to you that the Son of God, my friend, became your intercessor there on the cross. Old Charles Spurgeon said, a shadow is cast by a body coming between us and the light and the heat. And our Lord's blessed body has come between us and the scorching sun of divine justice, so that we sit under the shadow of His mediation in great delight. Amen. Listen to me, friend. What a great thought. My God, if Baptists could get a hold of it, that He has become our mediator. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. A man lived under the condemnation and the wrath of Almighty God. And it awaits to be poured out on every Christ rejecter and sinner. But I'm glad that our Lord Jesus became our intercessor and stood between us and God's wrath. Hallelujah to God. I've told this story. I'll tell it again right quick. It won't take long. But our kids got into a fracas in Greenville years ago when I was in Bible college. And I walked in the bedroom and I said, y'all know what this means, don't you? And they all thought, oh, yeah. I said, y'all been fighting amongst yourselves. Yeah. I said, you know you ain't supposed to do that. I bent over the bed and I said, each one of you quit me until you want to stop. They begin to cry. Each one of them one at a time. Daddy, we can't thank you, Daddy. You're our daddy. You're our father. How can we as your children spank you? We're the ones that ought to be spanked. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I believe God just showed up. I'm going to tell you something, friend. We ought to have been spanked! But our Lord bent over the bed and let the divine justice of Almighty God, the wrath of God, God's justice, God was satisfied when He saw the travail of His soul. I'm telling you, on the cross, my friend, it wasn't, somebody said it was man's doing. Hogwash and baloney and cockamamie and poppycock and plain old bull. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The day of the cross was God's sovereign design. That's right. And sinners' delight and Satan's defeat. It was the day that Christ, my friend, took the belt that the spanking that every sinner ought to have. Took it for us. Now I want to say oh boy. Huh? I've got to hurry. Number three, the apple tree provides rest for the sinners. The Bible said that she sat down. She sat down. She had sought rest in chapters 1 through 7. She said, show me, tell me, where you're feeding and where your flock rest. Tell me this. She had been looking for rest. And in chapter 2 and verse 3 here, she found that rest. Her being wearied from the journey, it is no wonder upon finding the apple tree and the shade from it that she sat down with delight. I'm going to tell you what a lot of people remind me of. They remind me of the mariners in Jonah's day, trying to row to shore through the storm and find rest. You'll never find rest trying to row your own little boat ashore. Rest has been provided. Sit down under its shade and rest in Christ. Huh? Many of you in here this morning trying to row and get there, trying to find rest. Lay your head at the pillow your head at night and there's no rest. Your mind is a turmoil. Your life is chaotic. I mean, there's no rest. There's no peace. There's no contentment. There's no joy. There's no happiness. Huh? No rest, in a turmoil. You're like the maniac of Gadara, finding no rest day or night. Wow! No rest, lost! And I'm going to tell you what's making you restless. The guilt of your sin. You're a sinner! Hell wake you, neighbor! Wake up, wake up, wake up! Oh my God, sinner man, sinner woman! Please wake up today! For I'm telling you, there's no rest! For those that spend eternity in hell, Revelation 14:11 said, and they found no rest day or night. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that are laboring heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Amen. Oh, blessed be His name.
Yeah.
That little weary bride all day long in the sun, weary from her journey. Now, I'm going to tell you, this old journey's been a weary one, friend. Weary from the journey. All she sees is oak trees and sycamore trees and pine trees and nothing with fruit. A little shade, but no fruit. You need more than shade. You need fruit to go with the shade. I'm telling you, but she kept smelling a fragrant odor. And she kept persevering on, going on, going on. And finally, scorched from the heat of the sun, she spied the apple tree and realized that there was not only shade, but there was moisture from the fruit. Satisfying to the soul. And she sat down with great delight. Why would she want to leave it? There's nothing there but oaks and pine trees that cannot provide what the apple can. There's nothing there but slick bark, scaly old sycamore trees and old hickory nut, walnut trees. Nothing with any moisture. Nothing with any fruit. But when she found the apple tree, she sat down under its shade with delight, grabbed an apple, amen to God, and was satisfied in her soul. That's her wonderful name.
Yeah.
Praise be unto God. Now, don't nobody leave me, huh? You can rest in the cross. You can rest in His coming. He is coming.
Amen.
I want to say the apple tree rejoices the heart of sinners. She said, "I sat down under His shadow with great delight."
Amen.
Somebody said, "Oh, Hall, just acts like a fool. You ain't seen nothing yet, man."
Yeah.
She didn't say, "I sat down under His shade and got the pooch mouth. Well, here I am. He saved me now. What a terrible life. God help us."
Yeah.
"I sat down under His shade with great delight."
Yeah.
"Rejoicing of the heart. These things have I written unto you. These things have I written unto you that you might have joy, that in my joy might remain in you." Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, friend, that His joy remains in me unto this day. Through troubles and trials and tribulations. Through despondency and despair. Amen. I tell you, it's been worth every mile of the trip. There is a joy in my soul from knowing God. Don't cramp the Holy Ghost. Don't quench God in my life. Loose old Brother Hall and let Him go. Thanks be unto God. For there's joy unspeakable and full of glory in my heart that I've experienced, my friend, under the shade of the old apple tree.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, that's what's wrong with some of you long-faced kids in here this morning. That's what's wrong with some of you long-faced kids in here this morning. You need a little joy. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Only God can give it to you. Somebody said, "Oh, I'm going to be a model like Miss America. She's from Kentucky, and I'm going to strut my stuff, and that'll give me great joy." What are you going to do when your breasts drop, your belly gets flabby, and your skin gets loose and wrinkly? Then where will your joy be?
Right.
Oh, there's pleasure in sin for a season. But son, one bite of that apple. You become like a Green Bay tree. Son, you never grow old. I'm going to a land where you never grow old.
Amen.
I got a bite. Eve took a bite of an apple and death came. I took a bite of an apple and it gave me life. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
And brought joy along with it. Glory to God.
Amen.
She said, "I sat down with great delight."
Amen.
Poor Baptist. Poor Baptist. Charles Spurgeon said, "I wouldn't be associated with any kind of a religion that didn't cheer my heart, fire my soul, and fill me with enthusiasm." Now, don't you get the idea that Charles Spurgeon was a deadhead, friend. He might have wore Martin Luther's robe or whoever it was, or Calvin's robe or whoever it was, but don't you get the idea that our old forefather was a deadhead. I'm quoting what he said. "I would not own a religion that did not cheer
my heart. That it did not fire my soul. That did not fill me with enthusiasm. God help us today. It doesn't appear that there's any cheer, that there's no fire, and there's certainly no enthusiasm in serving God today. Like Brother Sammy Allen said, don't get it. No need to get too excited. What is there to get excited about? I picked up a little paper the other day from the Cracker Barrel Mailers and said, enjoy the fun at the Cracker Barrel 500. I said to myself, sir, I'm going to enjoy the grace at the Island 4,000.
Amen.
Are y'all listening to what I'm saying? Joy! Your life is dead, blue, meaningless, vain, void. There's some of you, there's nothing in your life worth living for. You're as miserable, my friend, as a tree possum with 20 dogs under the tree. Sammy said, there ain't no need of getting too excited. After all, you're only going to live as long as God does.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Yes. Amen. I'm excited about it, friend. Somebody said, you're dreaming. Don't wake me up.
Hey,
give me a medicine to help me sleep. It's a herb, melatonin or something like that. Yeah, and you take one of them at night. And said, your doctor said, don't take it with any Mayo inhibitors from a disease, you know. Don't take it with none of that. And said one thing about it. Said it'll make you have vivid dreams. I had a dream the other night. I was dreaming me and Bill Stocks was filling up a flat tire with an air hose and it's shooting water out of it. I had a dream the next night that I was sitting in a big building. There's a big wall and it was made out of glass. And Brother Wayne Smith drove up to it in a big truck and put his bumper and just grinned and said, hey, preacher. And the glass said, snap. It was a restaurant of some kind. I'm talking about vivid dreams. But I'm going to tell you something. Oh, this thing about sitting under the apple tree. It is no dream, my friend. It is life. It is a reality. I don't have to worry about waking up because I ain't never going to sleep. Hallelujah to God. For He is the resurrection and the life. And any man that believeth in Him, though he were dead. Hallelujah to God. Yes, shall he live? And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Surely you believe the prophets of God. Surely you believe the Bible. It's not a dream, friend. It's a reality. So wake up. Set up. Cheer up. Get up. Amen! Get a little get up and go, a little fire, a little cheer, a little excitement about you. We are going to glory. Amen to God. God's called us to by the fragrance of the apple on the apple tree. We have sat down under its shade and we're delighting in the fruit thereof. Hallelujah. My God, y'all's preaching me today. I want to say in closing, what are doing with specs? Huh? One of these days, you egg suckers, I won't need you. The apple tree. The apple tree, reckon the apple tree, I'll get it all here in a minute. The apple tree leads sinners to repentance. The apple tree reconciles sinners by becoming its intercessor. The apple tree provides rest for sinners. The apple tree rejoices the heart of sinners. And I want to say this in closing. I hope, bless God, you'll get a hold of this. She said, I sit down under the shadow with great delight, and His fruit was sweet to my taste.
Amen.
She tasted Christ. Taste of the Lord. See that He's good. But I'm going to tell you what, hey, have you ever heard the old saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away?
Amen.
Well, I'm going to tell you, an apple a day keeps sin away.
Amen.
I take that apple cider vinegar. That iridologist over said, you've got to get the kind that's got the mother in it. Said, you've got to shake it up and make sure that mother, take that apple cider vinegar. Said, it'll give you energy. It'll give you a little life. Somebody said, well, what are you saying, preacher? Hey! That apple tree rejuvenates the saints of God. I'm going to tell you why some of you is dead, dry, and draggy. You ain't had no apple today. Shame it, shame it, shame it on you. Have you brought the teacher an apple lately? She said its taste was sweet. Or it was fruit, rather. Was sweet to my taste. My Lord. Have you ever tasted of the fruit of the Holy Ghost? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Have you ever tasted of the fruit of Christ? His love, His mercy, His grace, His divine happiness and joy. Oh, I'm telling you, friend, I'm going to tell you what, Island Ford Baptist, we need rejuvenated some. We need to sit down. Some of you wouldn't make it with an apple. You need a bushel. Some of you may be a pet. Maybe some of you just an apple, but we all need a little rejuvenating from the fruit of the apple tree this morning. Makes me want to charge hell with a water pistol. Tell the devil to move over, son. I've done invaded your kingdom. Huh? Swing out over the flames of hell on a corn silk with one hand and sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Somebody said, preacher, the world's getting rough. It's closing in on around us. Oh, yeah, but I'm going to tell you what. When it gets down to that last squeeze and just about to put us in the vise, we're going up.
Yes.
Glory! I want you to listen now to what Charles Spurgeon wrote, and I'm going to read this and we go into the house. He said, sit down under His shadow. I have no leisure, says one. I have no time to sit down. Mr. Spurgeon said, try and make a little. I believe I'd make a little time. Steal it from your sleep if you cannot get it anywhere else. Folks, that's how important it is. Just what Brother Doug said in Sunday school, just what I'm preaching now, that communion, that fellowship, that time with God, that's how important it is. If you can't find it nowhere else, steal it from your sleep. Somebody said, you don't have to. God's blessed me that way, and I don't. You're right. I thank Him for it. But there was a time when it did. He goes on to say, steal it from your sleep if you can't get it anywhere else. Grant leisure to your heart. It would be a pity, now listen now, if a man never spent 5 minutes with his wife, but was forced to be always hard at work. Spurgeon said, why? This is slavery. Wouldn't that be a shame? Maybe some of you don't spend 5 minutes with your wife. Sorry, rascal. How can your home be sweet? How can your relationship with her and your fellowship with her be pleasant, my friend, if you never sit down and spend any time with her? And I tell you what I do every morning. I get a hug every morning. I'm going to tell you, I get Miss Hall's cappuccino. I'm going to heat her water.
I put four spoonfuls in that little cup of cappuccino. I take it in there where she's sitting. Where's your table? You're out of place, young lady. Hold on to that, please, and don't spill it on nobody's head. And I say, And I say, good morning, my love. I want to ask you something. When was the last time you sat down under his apple tree? Open your arms and said, good morning, my beloved. I lovest thou thee because thou first loved me. And let him lay his beautiful arms around you. Huh? I'll guarantee you, are you listening to me? That John the Beloved never forgot the upper room when he laid his head in the bosom of Christ and there experienced an intimate time that no other man in that room experienced. I'm going to tell you what Peter said way over in the book of Peter. He scratched his head a minute and said, you know something? He said, I remember that day on the Holy Mount. I remember that day when Moses and Elijah appeared with our Lord in all of His glory. Remember that time of intimate fellowship. Nobody but James and John and myself. And the Lord, Moses and Elijah. What a time we had. Oh, it was sweet. Jesus said, look here, it was so intimate. Jesus said, don't you tell anybody about it. There's some things that are so precious in His presence that we dare not tell another living soul. But I'm going to tell you how they'll know. You come into the house of God on Sunday. Some of you men come through that doorway back there and you're kicking high enough to kick the arch. Somebody will know something's happened to you. When you ladies come out of that Sunday school class and snots are flying everywhere and tears are running off your chin, amen to God, and that's right, and what little bit of mascara some of you wear is done run off your face, and that little old makeup is done streaked a little bit. Oh! You won't have to tell anybody that you had a bad apple before you come to the house of God Sunday morning. Spurgeon goes on to say, shall we not then have time to commune with our best beloved? As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. And his fruit was sweet to my taste. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation this morning. You've never been to the cross. I want to invite you this morning to make your way to the apple tree. If I'd have thought about it, I'd have mentioned that apple tree song we used to play on the radio. Little old boy went away from home and he was wicked and ungodly and didn't want to. He was like the prodigal son. Didn't want to submit himself. He wrote his father a letter, weary that maybe he might not be welcomed and accepted back in the home. And he was on that train coming in. His father told him, said, son, said, I'll have a big sheet hanging out on the apple tree. Something of that nature. And the young man said as he came by on that train, that old apple tree was hanging full of flags, and said father was standing out in the way waving the big bed sheet, saying, come on, son. Come on, son. You know, that's what the Lord's saying to you this morning. Come on. Come on home, sinner. Why waste your life and then spend eternity in hell without God? Saying to you, as the dew on the lily who wakes the birds of the morning, I wait for thee. Come to me this morning, he says. Taste of my fruit. And let it rejoice your heart and freshen you so. What about a child of God? Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for the old apple tree that still stands. I believe I can honestly say it's the old rugged cross that sends out such a glorious fragrance, whose taste to those that have knelt at the bottom of is sweet and delightful. I pray, O breath, that you have come this morning into our midst. Save some sinner by the grace of God here, by the radio, by the internet. And Father, that your people that listen today will find great joy and rejoicing from that fruit which grows from the branches of that wonderful old apple tree. Do a work for the glory of Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen and amen.